Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually and physically fit. Well, you know, a couple more days, it's going to be what? Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all your mothers and aunts out there. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, we are so happy this weekend because this is the time of year that we celebrate our mothers and our aunties and grandmothers who have taken care of us in life. Well, I have two dynamite authors tonight, and we're going to get to them right after this commercial. But first, I want to know, were you a bad child or a good child? Did you listen to what your mother had to say? Or my sister and I would say, that's for the book. We better get out a black and white book because she's always giving us things to do or telling us what to do. So I want to know, are you still following your mother's advice? Right after this commercial, we're going to go to our author, Brian W. Robertson, right after this commercial.
Renee Wiggins is a Christian life coach and host of Transformation Give Up the Struggle, where she helps to equip and empower you from the inside out so you can share your story in order that others may grow physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Well, I'm back. Mother's Day is around the corner. And my question is to you, do you follow your mother? Did you follow your mother's advice? Are you still doing what she asked you to do? Well, I am. Even though my mother's in her 80s, she still points at me and tells me things I should do or shouldn't do. We have here today, Brian Robertson is an entrepreneur striving to help make a difference in this world we live in. He currently lives in the cold state of Michigan. Believe me, I've been around it. It is cold. One of his best friends, Brian was raised with one of his best friends. Brian was raised in Michigan and has traveled most of North America. He attended Central Michigan University and graduated with a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. Brian seeks to inspire others to share their stories with the world, showing them that you can overcome any obstacle life throws at you. He currently spends his days working as a software trainer, training users on SAP. During his free time, he loves spending time with his family and friends. We're going to welcome Brian. Hello.
Hi,
Brian.
Renee.
How you doing?
Good, Renee. How are you? Thank you for inviting me on.
No problem at all. When you said Michigan, I was around there, and it's just like Buffalo. It is cold. That wind come off that lake. Oh, my God, it is cold here. It's really cold, people. You really got to bundle up. So, Brian, I am so glad that you're here. You know, Mother's Day is around the corner. It's Sunday, and you wrote this book, and when I saw it, people out there, my listeners, I said, wow, I got to get him on my show. 13 Hard Lessons of Life. How My Mother Taught Me Them. Wow, I like it. 13 Hard Lessons of Life. Why did you write this book, Brian?
Well, I kind of wrote the book for a few reasons. A big one was a lot of friends that I've had over the years and that have known me a great deal, but they never really knew much of my background because this wasn't something I talked about to everyone. It kind of took a while for me to get used to people, to explain it, and to kind of share this side of myself. So I kind of finally got around to that point where I decided, with a bunch of my entrepreneur friends, they're kind of pushing me also to go, hey, you know, tell your story. You've gone through so much and done so much so far. What have you learned? And that's kind of started a snowball effect for me, and that's how I started with it. Originally, my title of my book was completely different, and I was just trying to write from my experiences as a kid and what I went through, and then it kind of evolved into what life lessons did I actually learn that I've been using later on in life to help me.
That is good, because a lot of people, when they look at their life, their childhood, they don't use those lessons. They sort of like turn their back on them. And then they come to a point in life when, maybe I need to go back and look at my life to see why I'm doing things now. Do you find yourself doing that?
I want to say constantly, honestly. As I expand my awareness and learn more about myself and everything I've gone through, a lot of the books I've read in the personal development have talked about we repeat many of the cycles we have go on in our lives as kids. So when you're thinking about those concepts, it kind of forces you to look back at your childhood and go, okay, so what did I go through, and do I see patterns from childhood to teens to young adult? Did I see patterns that kept repeating itself? And I did start noticing quite a few different patterns in my life that kept repeating, and they all originated when I was younger.
Wow, that's really interesting, because I never thought of that, you know, what I repeat in my childhood, teens, and now adulthood. That is so awesome. So what are the, you said 13 hard lessons of life, how my mother taught me then. So what did your mother teach you then?
My mother taught me a great deal. My mother had a few issues when I was growing up, and she still does, along lines of psychological. And so my childhood was a little bit twisted at times. There was a lot of mental, emotional, and some physical abuse that went on in different ways. Mm-hmm. So some of the lessons she taught me was how to look at life in the right ways to overcome it, and a great deal of what not to do, and how letting fear kind of take over your life will literally, after a certain point, control everything you do. And my mother tends to be she seems to have a lot of phobias and a lot of fears, and she allows her fears to control and manipulate. And she always responds and reacts from a kind of a defensive position. So then I took that as I kind of try to strive to do the opposite. I kind of look at it going, well, you know, what can I learn from this situation? What can I do differently? And I'll even ask myself, what would my mother do in this situation? And then normally I'd go and kind of approach it from the opposite way.
And you did that as a teen? You was thinking that along these lines?
Yes. It started to slowly evolve further and further, but it originated when I was a teen.
That is really awesome, because I don't know of a teen, or even me, even thought about when I was a teen, that I would look, okay, here's the situation. How do I approach it differently? How can I get the positive out of this? What would my mother what would my mother say, or even my sister? So to me, you're really, I don't want to say predestined for greatness. Can I say that? Because I don't think of any team would think like along those lines. And for you to come up with that is good.
And I can honestly say you wouldn't be the first person that has kind of said that. With everything I went through, I've talked to a couple of psychologists over the years and therapists, and most of the time, once we start getting into the stories and further into how my mind works, most of the time I always get that same kind of comment from them going, wow, you're a lot different than most people that I have walk in my room with these same issues. You went completely the opposite way, but you did it without actually really having someone tell you to do that or guide you that way. I just kind of saw what I didn't like and what I didn't want, and then went the other way.
And you didn't rebel or anything like that. You just say, okay, here is a challenge, so therefore I need to go this way, I guess, to avoid or to go for that better road, so to speak.
Yes, but I can't say I didn't rebel, because technically in my mother's eyes, I spent all of my teen years of rebelling against her. But that was only because of the fact from the position that she was coming from compared to where the position that I was in. But to give a bit more insight, and I talk about it in the book, my mother is bipolar, manic depressive, with a victim-based personality. Mm. It's a fun combination because in her mind, she's never wrong, and then she'll flip from one side of the spectrum to the other. But then she also has denial in the fact that she doesn't believe she has problems. So, in her mind, I was a constant rebel, and I got in trouble all the time.
Wow. Well, this is really, truly, you know, amazing, because now that you mention it, I had a client who was bipolar, and you're right, in her eyes, the other people on the other side of her was always wrong, and she was always right. And she'll come to me for some help, and she'll agree to everything, but then when she go home, she do the switch, and I get these nasty emails and calls, and she's going to tell me, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. And it really, you know, well, you've been there. It's kind of, okay, which road do I take today? She's sitting in front of me. Do I be the nice, quiet person and listen to her, or do I confront her? And so you don't know, you know. So I guess you're right. These are lessons of life you had to learn, or I should say it was made out for you, because now you know how to deal with other people. Yes?
Yes. I do know how to deal with people now from every age category and about every background and experience. But that's also because of what I went through, but then also my undergraduate degree was mainly focused on working with people. And I think I've always had an attraction to helping other people, and I think it was partly it was connected to my childhood experiences. Because I was always seeming to seek for someone to help me, but no one ever came. So in turn, I'm going out to help others who are seeking for someone.
And you can say your seeking for help was mainly, I guess you took classes in psychology or something to help you so you can help others.
Yes. I started with psychology in high school, and that kind of kick-started me interest into the mind and how it works, and then it gave me insight on what was going on with my mom.
Wow, this is really deep, Brian. This is really deep. Because you had to self-help yourself so you can better understand your mother. And then now as an adult, as you say, you're going out to help other people, because there wasn't a person. It was just the books and the classes to help you. And that is...
Yep.
Really awesome, because now you have to delve into the books, read the words to find out how to help people, because you've been down that road, you have the books, and now you know what to say and how to say to people to get them moving in the right direction.
Yes. And I admit it can be a difficult journey. It can be challenging working with people that aren't always open to the feedback. My mother is not an open person to feedback or criticism, because, as I said, in her mind, she's never wrong. So it's a very delicate line that you have to walk in order to actually try and help them. And you can't really help someone until they want to help themselves as well.
True, true. So I'm looking at your background, a software trainer. So that if I came to you, you teaching me software, which would be the programs, right?
Correct.
And hardware is the computer.
Yes, correct.
So as a software trainer, your background of what you have been through along, even though your mother was teaching you lessons, not like, say, hey, Brian, this is what I want to help you, Brian, you were learning from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that perspective and now help you to become a software trainer.
Yep. Everything I went through helped kind of forge me into a good, in my background, get drawn to, like, the training and teaching aspect of helping other people. And I have a lot of close friends and coworkers that constantly like to tell me that I'm a great trainer and a great teacher because I'm a very patient person with everyone. I don't normally rush them, and I make sure that they understand whatever material I'm trying to help them with.
Yes. And because of it, you know, being in a room with so many different people, different personalities, you know, obstacles, you look them as opportunities, because when somebody is not getting it, you're like me, you become get quiet and figure out ways so that person can understand it. You don't leave them until they know how to do it and why they're doing it.
Yes, correct. Because that's normally the period of time when people are struggling to understand something is when they want to give up. And sometimes just the little words of guidance and sitting there with them is what will actually help them find that motivation not to quit and to keep going with what we're trying to teach them or what they're trying to do.
Well, so these 13 hard lessons of life is not something that your mother sat down patiently and taught you. You looked and observed how she was going through her life, and those are the lessons that you learned. And now in your adult life, you're actually using them.
Yes. And so, I would say in my childhood teen, when I was learning the lessons, I started unconsciously using them. But then as an adult, I started to consciously actually use the lessons and realize that I had learned them and actually write them out and identify what they actually were. Because unconsciously, I knew they were there, but I had never actually spent enough time to think about what they were and what they encompassed.
So for my listeners out there, Brian and I think what you're saying, not all the time our mothers are teaching us and sitting down with us and, you know, reading us books, just the actions, what they're going through. For some of you, if you have young people and you're involved with drugs or alcohol or have some mental disorder, your children learn from you. They can even take the road of rebellion and going off that road into doing something dangerous to them, or the other person can learn from that parent. And as you said, okay, this is a life lesson. This is what my mother's doing today. This is what I need to do to avoid confrontation. This is Tuesday. She's acting this way. This is what I need to do to help pacify her. So I guess you were laying out a program.
Yeah, in a way you could say it was a program, kind of giving my life a structure around the lessons that I've learned in order to empower myself to the next level.
So you're saying you want to help others. So let's be more specific. Are you going to help children of abuse? You're going to help them addicts? Is it a certain category or a certain, category that you're going to help? Or are you still undecided?
I'm still a little undecided. I've worked with at-risk youth in my undergrad program. I've worked with the elderly. I have spent time with addicts as well and trying to help them and see how they live and how the addictions affect their lives. But some of the most, I'd say, profound and impacting times has been working with at-risk youth and then also working with the elderly. And just listening to what they've gone through and they've experienced, because a lot of them know people that fit kind of the criteria of like what my mother laid out, the same kind of structure as her. They've had people like that in their lives as well. And they kind of gave me guidance and I'd say knowledge in how to work with my mom too at the same time. Because when during high school I worked for 3 years in a retirement home, and I loved all of the people there, and they constantly would give me little bits of advice and feedback and tell me stuff to work on doing for myself or to try and use to help my mom too.
So you had to learn self-care for yourself in order to be sane.
Extremely. As a therapist once phrased it when I talked to them, they said I had a choice. I could have either gone the route where quite a few individuals seem to go, and that kind of that bad route, serial killer style route, where you kind of get really twisted after what you go through, or you go on the route where you get empowered, and then you start helping to empower other people. And I don't remember consciously ever making that choice, but I seem to have made that choice when I was growing up, from being middle school to high school and into a young adult. I kind of made that choice unconsciously.
So, Brian, my question is then, with these 13 hard lessons of life, how my mother taught me them, are you going to now develop a workbook or go around, like, say, Boys and Girls Club of America? Because I really see this as a great impact. I don't know if you really see that, because, how can I say this? My mother is a manipulator. And when I was I lived in Maryland, going to New York, going back and forth, every time she called me for something because she's busy taking care of my father, I didn't see that at the time until my sister from the outside came by and she said, you know, your mother's manipulating you. And I tell her, no, that's just part of the aging process. And she kept saying, no, she is. And then to one day, then I noticed she was. And then I realized, you know, she uses things to, I guess, manipulate, to things will go in her favor. And even now I looked at and I can see it. And now I'm able to say, no, I'm not doing this today. And she'll look at me like so mad. I'm wondering, with you, because this is really deep, because like you said, some people go down that twisted road and devastation, and they want to kill themselves, cutting and doing all, being promiscuous and everything. And then you took the high road of, no, this is what I want in my life, the better things in life. And your mother taught you the hard way, which is really, it's good. So are you going to be working with the kids then? I know you said you still haven't decided, because I do see this, working with children to help them so they won't go down, or adolescents or teens go down that road, because some don't have that knowledge or that power or that faith to take them down that other road.
I want to say it's been a faint idea in my head, and I've had that interest for a while, kind of being I wouldn't say motivational, but an inspirational speaker for people on this kind of issues. So it is there. I haven't yet put a concrete plan together where I'm going to start with it. And I think the biggest starting point was first getting this book created and getting it out.
I do too. I really do. Because while you're talking, I don't think you've ever heard of Sybil. I think it was a true story of how this woman and her brother went through a lot with their father, how he tormented them and everything. And she had to develop different personalities to deal with her father. So she went down the left side of the road. But yet she was a good person, but it was just that she had to develop so many different personalities that her daughter can tell, and she was being interviewed on stage, I don't know, it was by Oprah or somebody, she can tell her mother's personality has changed if somebody else took over. But you remain true and whole to yourself, right? Yeah, because some people, that's happened. If they have a very traumatic childhood and don't know what to do, they have to develop different personalities to deal with that person who is abusing them. But you choose a higher road, a higher ground. We listen to Brian Robertson on 13 Hard Lessons of Life, How My Mother Taught Me Them. And we're not talking about the way mothers sit down and guide you and direct you and helping you and being there for you. We're talking about the mother who sometimes can be off the other side of the road, that you learn from her actions, her manipulations. You learn from, I guess, her doings, her wrongs, that you take those and use them in life so you can be a better person to help inspire and motivate other people. This is really good. This is good, Brian. No, it is. It could be like into a movie or something, because this is really deep. And for you to have insight. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I will admit I was so nervous about writing it and publishing it, because it was exposing such a side of me that had kind of been in the dark for at least almost 15 years with all my friends. So it was a very powerful experience to create this book.
Powerful and maybe also a little painful, but it had to be told, because you couldn't no longer hide it anymore. Because just think, if you hide it, how many people you did not reach or will not reach, and their lives still remain in that darkness. 13 Hard Lessons of Life, How My Mother Taught Me Them, by Brian Robertson. You're now taking this book out in the open so you can inspire, motivate, and encourage other teenagers. And I keep saying teenagers to help to not go down that road. And that is so good. That's so good. Well, Robert, I want to thank you for coming on. Do you have a website to give everybody so they can at least go to your website or Facebook page and continue the conversation?
I do have a Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/13hardlessonsoflife, you will find my lovely book cover. And you can reach out to me there on the on Facebook. I'm always checking it. I also want to give kind of a small gift to your listeners. Since I didn't really have time, because I've been really busy traveling recently, to put together anything, this weekend, Friday through Sunday, my book will actually be free on Amazon. So if anybody wants to go ahead and go download it, it won't cost you anything.
So repeat that one more time again for my listeners out there.
So this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in both for a gift for the radio listeners and also for Mother's Day, my book will be free on Amazon. You just have to go to Amazon.com and search for 13 Hard Lessons of Life, and it'll be the first link that pops up.
Thank you very much, Brian, and I hope you have many successes to your book, 13 Hard Lessons of Life, How My Mother Taught Me Them. You take care. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Renee. I appreciate you inviting me on the show.
No problem. You take care. Thank you. Well, we have another guest speaker. Oh, I'm talking about this Mother's Day. That is an awesome book, because you ladies and men who are listening, you know, sometimes our lives have not always been beautiful or peaches and roses, so to speak, and we had to look at our parents and try to say, okay, I'm not going to do this. Not being rebellious, but you're not going to get mad at the things that they were doing. Because they, too, were learning as they were growing up. They maybe didn't have anybody, a mentor or anybody to talk to on how to raise their children. And as children, we don't realize that. We don't know that. And so they're learning from what they were exposed to or what they were not exposed to. This is really something. So my next speaker, Gladys and I Gladys is her name, and it's Seerdorf, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, and I'm sorry, Gladys, when you get on, please correct me. Grew up in Abion, Michigan. She went to Western Michigan University, where she earned her master's degree in social work and became a licensed social worker, specializing in home care and hospice agencies. For the past 25 years, in addition to her work, she has kept busy volunteering. Currently, she enjoys her passion as an ambassador for the Battle Creek Community Foundation and be a member of the Women Who Care, a philanthropic organization that focuses on the arts. She also volunteers for Red Cross, Focus on Disasters, and the VA Medical Center and the Palliative Care Unit. Over the past few years, she has taken up writing, which is something she has always wanted to do. She has self-published 2 books already and plans to publish more in the future. Today, she lives in Battle Creek, Michigan, with her husband, 2 daughters, and grandson. When not working, volunteering, or gardening, that's me, gardening around her poetry, her property. She loves to visit with family and friends and, of course, give thanks to the Lord for all that she has been blessed with. Let's see if Gladys is on.
Hello, Renee.
Gladys, are you there?
Yes,
hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Did I pronounce you as Seedorf?
It's Seedorf. You're right. Seedorf.
Thank you, Gladys. How you doing? Oh, excuse me. Happy Mother's Day.
And thank you, Renee. I appreciate you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, no problem. This is Mother's Day, and I came across my email, and her book is What Mama Said. And I want to tell
right.
you, folks, when my sister and I were growing up, we used to say, What Mama Said. You heard in the streets, What Mama Said, But Mama Said. And then we was, and my sister and I said, Better go get that black and white book. Write it down.
Well, I did just that. I certainly did.
Well, tell us
and
a little bit more about yourself.
It's been wonderful.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, and we're going to get into What Mama Said. Go ahead.
Well, I think you pretty much covered it when you read your information. I've been a social worker for 25 years, and I absolutely love what I do. I pride myself on being able to develop relationships with people, and I just, like I said, I just love what I do. I really can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing. Going from, you know, home care to hospice, it's like breathing for me. I really like it, and I call myself a social worker by day and an author by night.
Whoa, I like that. Boy, well, I'm a registered dietitian, and I used to work for the Urban League, the senior division, and I had to go out with you social workers and help examine the homes and hoarders or talk to the parents and you know, when they're sick. And I also did massage and hospice care because a friend of mine's brother was dying, so I had to go in hospice care and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we both have about similar paths, and then home care, taking care of my mother.
Right.
But what made you come up with this book, What Mama Said?
Well, you know, honestly, my mother was diagnosed with dementia a few years back, and I saw that her health was declining, and, you know, it just really touched my heart. I thought, you know what, my mother has been such a sweet person over the years, and I really want to do something nice for her. You know, I mean, you know, of course we always, you know, we give her flowers, we give her gifts, but I thought, I'm going to give her something that she can keep, something that she can say, yeah, that's me, and, you know, I did say that. And I thought, you know, it'll be wonderful for the kids to see, the grandkids to see what kind of person she was. So that's what made me do it. I just wanted to give her something that I knew, you know, would mean a lot to her and certainly a lot to me, too.
Wow. Never even thought of something like that. That is nice. I mean, my mother seen my books and said, oh, and I reread it, she said, and she liked it. But wow, for you to give your mother something like that. So we have similarities, but Gladys, when you said that, I really just warmed my heart and soul on that, What Mama Said.
Absolutely,
I like that
absolutely.
Table.
And I've got her picture on the front of it, and it was back in the back in her younger days, and it's a very good picture of her, and she was so pleased that I took the time to, you know, dig out a nice picture and put her picture on the front of it, and just to write about some things that she didn't even know that I was even listening.
That is true. So for my listeners out there, you hear Gladys, that is a special gift to give your mothers. It's not too late. Write something down or do a recording or gather up pictures. But give that, like you said, then the traditional flowers to play safe or candy or take her out to dinner, you know. But something that
That's
she can
right.
look at night. After you go home at night, she has this in her hand. Oh, Gladys,
well, you know,
is beautiful.
And you know, with the dementia, you slowly lose your memory. So sometimes she will lose the book and forget about it, and then when she later thinks about it, she'll find it, and just the biggest smile is on her face. And sometimes she'll put it in her purse, and I'll find it in her purse where she's carrying it with her. So you know, it does mean a lot to her.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's something about our seniors. That purse, my mother, too, always got to hold on to that purse. I was like, what is that purse? No matter what mother who you go to, they got to have that purse.
Your purse.
My mother, please put in the lipstick. I was like, oh, my God. It's something about the. I guess they feel they can't control anything else, and this is the only one thing they can hold on to, and nobody's going to take
right.
it. That's what I think.
That's right.
So let's get into the quotes here, the sayings. What did Mama say?
Okay. Well, some of there's some really well there. I like them all, but Mama touches on everything. She touches on how to handle your money, how to handle your man, how to go to you know what how you should raise your children. Now this is a good one here that I've. As far as being sick and staying home from work, she never let us do that. Staying home from school, she never let us do that. She says, no, you get up and go. Live as long as you can, and you die when you just can't help it. So she didn't pretend, you know, that you should sit at home or stay home from work. She wanted you to go anyway. Another one that I loved and used to make me laugh when I was a little girl, when it was thundering and lightning outside, my mother believed that the Lord was working and you should sit down. And she said, y'all get somewhere and sit down. Don't you know the Lord's working? So we would have to go and sit down and wait until it stopped thundering and lightning, and then we could move around. And another one that she said is when she didn't have much money, she used to say, you know what? I'm running on a rim. I'm running on a rim and don't have no money. That used to really make me laugh, and this is my all-time favorite one, and I tell my kids all the time, Mama said, don't never give nobody your last dollar. And Mama was always, money was always an issue with Mama, but she could make a dollar last for a year if she had to. She wasn't about to give nobody her last dollar, not even the church.
Ooh,
and here's another one. Here's another one, too. She says, I can't give no man all my money. Mama believed that if you had sense enough to go to work, then you ought to have sense enough to spend your own money and not discuss everything with your husband.
Oh, my God.
And then here's another one that she said, too. Mama was very independent, very independent. She says, a man is good in his place, meaning that, you know, she didn't want to be told what to do by her husband. She wanted to be independent, but yet when she felt like she needed him, well, then she would, you know, go and listen to him. And she just felt like he was good when she needed
him. Oh, my God. Your mother was
something
else.
A man was good in his place.
His place, and not the woman, not the other way around. Wow.
That's right.
Was something.
That's for sure.
I like what you said. Okay, sit down because of the lightning. The Lord is doing his work.
Yeah.
But you know,
yeah,
we grew up, when lightning did come around, we all had to sit down and be quiet.
Right. Oh,
You didn't walk around the house when lightning was coming on. Wow.
Oh no, we had to respect that she felt that God was working. We had to respect that, and if we were on the phone, we had to get off the phone.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted you to sit and respect what was happening. And you know, to this day, I'm not that strict, but you know what? I do kind of slow down if, you know, if I'm on the phone or, you know, I'll just say, well, you know, let me call you back when it's, you know, when things kind of quiet down, you know. I don't want to get electrocuted, but but I remember what she said. She just wanted you to sit down, so.
Yeah, we did. We did. We definitely did. So give us some more, because these are some good quotes, you know, that your mother had, especially with
sure.
the man. She really knew how to, you know, back then the women, I always used to call them the Cinderella women, you
mm-hmm.
know, because they were always taken care of by the man. And then when he dies, it's like, oh, my mother said, I didn't know how to do this. Oh, I didn't know how to do that. Oh, you know, she was the Cinderella
mm-hmm.
to me. And so I had to teach her things. Yeah.
But
right,
can we
give us some more quotes there?
Well, here's another one for you. She says, mm-hmm. you better watch them people that talk a lot, because they probably telling a bunch of lies. Now, Mama wasn't a big fan of people that talked a lot, or even if she knew that, you know, they were just talking very fast. She would often watch and listen carefully, only to conclude that half of what they said was actually a lie. So she didn't like it. She just said, you better keep your eyes on them people. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, she was right. You know, those people that always had a lot to say, always knew something about what you were saying, they did not.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's
mm-hmm.
another one. Mama
mm-hmm.
said, always read your Bible for yourself, because some of what these preachers are saying, some of these preachers ain't no good, Mama said. Now, Mama wasn't the greatest reader, but she knew the Bible pretty well. She wasn't about to let some preacher lead her down the wrong path. She felt that God was no respecter of persons and would speak to her just as he spoke to the preachers. And here's
oh my
another
God.
One. Move your hand fast. Hurry up. Hurry up. Mama picked a lot of cotton in her day. When she wanted you to do chores, which was every Saturday, she had us clean that house from top to bottom. There was no such thing as we're going to wait until spring to do spring cleaning. Every Saturday, we had to dust, mop, vacuum, sweep. And she said, move your hands fast. So we learned to get it done on Saturday, and we learned to get it done fast.
Oh,
and then
geez.
Here's another one. Like I said, money was always an issue. So she used to get mad sometime, and she'd go, well, you know, it ain't nothing but a little piece of money or a little taste of money. She called it a piece of money or a little taste of money, and that used to really make me laugh. Instead of her saying, well, you know, I don't have much, she just, it was either a little piece or a little taste. And here's something for the lazy people, the lazy people. She says, get yourself a job, save your money, and pay your bills. She wasn't for no lazy people sitting around on welfare. You get up, go to work, and get a job, and save a little bit of what you had and pay bills. Here's another one of my all-time favorites. Mama was very good at boosting my self-esteem. She said, ain't nobody better than you, but remember, you ain't no better than nobody else neither. Mama believed in treating everybody with respect, and she wanted you to know that you were just as good as the next person.
Wow. Gladys, this is really some good wisdom here. Because Mama
and let me give you just one. Let me give you one more. Let me give you one more. If a man leaves his wife for you, don't you know he gonna leave you for some other woman one of these days? Mama didn't believe in you messing with no married men. If a man was married, you leave him alone. That's what she believed. She says if he would leave his wife for you, one of these days he's gonna leave you for another woman.
Let's stop right
so
there.
So I got
let's stop right
that's
there.
Right. That's
let's
right.
Stop
Mama
right there.
Was, she was
Mama was powerful. Mama was really before her time. No, seriously, Mama was before her time.
That's
okay.
right. I loved it. I loved it.
And I liked the way you kept it and then gave it back to her in a nice little wrapping. But let's get back
that's
to
right.
if a man leaves you for, leave his wife
woman?
For you.
For
right,
you?
He's going to leave
right.
you. Because
right.
I don't know if you remember, I think it's Michael Landon. of the was it Ponderosa, the young cute little guy.
Oh yep.
And
oh yeah, yeah. He was a cutie.
I think it was him or his wife. He left his first wife for somebody else. And then one night his first wife got a knock on the door, and it was his second wife crying to her, saying that he had left her for another, and he didn't live that long. And she said, "Now I know how you feel." I think
that's
she was
right.
telling the story. Now I know how you feel.
That's right. It's not a good feeling. So she just was trying to warn us. You know, don't do that, because he will do the same thing to you, and don't think he won't. You know, and you and I have lived it. We've seen it. We've seen it.
We've seen it. And I want to put a little thing on to a little twister. My father used to say to us, if a man does not respect his mother, he is not going to respect you.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Because his mother is supposed to be the most important woman in his life. And if he doesn't respect his mother, he isn't going to. And you know what? Being a social worker, I see it all the time. I see it all the time. And, you know, if these young girls were smart, they would take time and look at how their boyfriend treats their mother. Because that's a good indication of what you're going to get.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's a good indication
of
what you're
going to
get. That's right.
Your mother saw it, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
These are words of wisdom, my listeners out there. I mean, Gladys is really telling it where her mother told it. These are like before her time, how she can see things like this, because it's true. It's what the Bible.
It is true.
You know, I'm reading the Bible for what God's telling me. Don't always just rely on the preacher, because sometimes, and you look at some of these preachers nowadays, they're flamboyant. Clothes, they're no good, and then some of them, and then to have a show on the air about preacher wives or the preachers themselves, your mama, I'm glad she's not looking at that. She didn't chew them out, boy. She would chew them out. Gladys, this is really awesome, this book that you have put together, What Mama Said.
Thank you. I did my best, Renee. I did my best.
You did it your best. Now, is there going to be a sequel to this book here? Are you going to make it into like a little short play or something? What's going to come happen with What Mama Said?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, like I said, my mother has dementia, but she is still able to take care of herself for the most part. You know, we do have to supervise her, but you know, she still comes up with some pretty good ones, and I am writing them down, and I do intend to write a What Mama Said Part 2. I can see that right now. I've already got quite a stack of quotes or sayings that she has said.
You know, you're inspiring me, and I know you're inspiring my listeners out there, because, as I mentioned, this is something they can get together even on a couple of days, because my mother now, and she's an assistant living down here with me, and she come up with some funny things, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at
it,
and I said, now that you mentioned, I should be writing these things down.
You
or even you put it on an audio. You know, this is really a blessing, Gladys. I am so glad, you know, that email came across. And what mama said, because, you know, as kids we used to run up about what mama said, what did mama say? I don't care what mama said. What you say? And then he's like, oh, nothing, mama.
And you know,
mothers are
so
like the libraries,
funny.
You know, the libraries. We got to respect the libraries, though. They hold all the wisdom and the knowledge,
That's
even though at times later on they can make us mad. But they got much wisdom, so much wit in them. And especially my mother, she gave her a little walk, and then all of a sudden she did her little dance. See, I can still dance. So we just bust out laughing. You know? They do some funny things. Cause I said, Mommy, you should be exercising. And she looked at me. I should be doing what? And then she said, watch me. And she takes a candy mint and the glass and put it to her mouth. That's exercise. I'm doing my arm curls.
She said, that's all the exercise that I'm doing.
Right. She said, watch me. I put this mint to my mouth. That's exercise.
She sounds like a real Swedish.
Yes, yes. If they get older, they be saying some smart things. What about your brothers and sisters? What they say about the book, your family, you know?
Well, you know what? They were all very thrilled, and they were certainly glad that I took the time to put her quotes and her sayings in writing. They, too, live by what she has said. And, you know, they just think it's wonderful. They really think it's wonderful. And like I said, it just has made my mother so happy. It has made her so happy. And, you know, she lives in a little town of Albion. And, you know, the people in the town of Albion have just gotten behind me and been very supportive of about this book. And they just laugh because they have known her in her younger day. And they go, yep, she sure was. She sure said that. I remember she said that. So it's just been a joy for my family and for the people in her town.
That sounds so beautiful. So what can you tell my listeners who are, you know, taking care of their mothers or are responsible for their mothers? What can you tell them?
You know, I think for the younger people, I want to say, you know, when I was a little girl, I never thought about writing a book about my mother, and she never certainly didn't think anybody would ever write a book on her. But I want to say for the younger people, try to live as though you know that somebody, your children, is going to someday write a book about you. I think if we can... If we can think about, you know what, I better be mindful of how I carry myself and, you know, in front of my children, because, you know, Lord only knows, what if they wanted to write a book about me? You know, what would they have to say? And I was always so proud of my mother because she lived her life. She lived her life as if she knew that I was going to write a book about her. She lived her life where she could leave wisdom and knowledge and strength for us to draw from. So I think that's what I would tell people. You know, those of you that are taking care of your mother, look at all that wisdom and strength that they have left you. And, you know, when they begin to decline, you know, of course we get tired. But, you know, when you turn that around, I'm sure they got tired of us when we were younger and crying and needed diapers changed and needed a bottle. And so I just think, you know, be thankful for what you've got while you've got it. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Preach, Gladys, preach. You are preaching. No, you are preaching. It is true. We have to be thankful because you know, when I used to go visit my mother in New York and I'd be here in Maryland, everybody said, what you doing there? What you doing? I said, I spend time with my mother. And they look at me, what you do, though? I said, you know, I don't know how long she has been on earth.
That's right.
So I always sat there from the time I got there to the time, because we would knit or crochet.
That's
and
right.
And we go out and
that's
spend
nice.
Our money on yarn and come back, and also all we do is make hats. We make about 4 or 5 hats in one night.
Oh,
and I just sit there and to be with her, because why come to a city and then you out with your friends and you out all the time? You know, she would feel
that's
neglected
right.
and hurt. And so I
very
sat
hurtful.
There with my parents because I didn't know how long they're going to be. And you're
that's
right, the time spent with them is the most valuable time, because at least they know you're there.
That's right. And, you know, as a social worker, I work with a lot of families, and I work with a lot of families that they will come from out of state to visit their mother, and then they'll go sleep at a hotel instead of staying right there with their mother. You know, I said that, I think that's kind of hurtful. You know, when I go to, now that my mother's health is declining, I will spend the night with her several nights during the week. And you know what? I even sleep in the same bed with her because I figure, you know, if something happens to her, I want to know it right then. I don't want to wait and come from a hotel or come from, you know, the next little city over. I want to know it right then. That's my mother. I love her. I will roll up my sleeves and get in there and clean her house just like I did when she used to make me do it when I was a small child or a teenager. I will, because I know how she used to keep it. And I know she can't do that anymore, but, you know, it doesn't bother me a bit. to go in there and clean things up and get things nice. And when she says she's going to bed, I go, well, Mom, move over. I'm going to bed too.
Oh, Gladys, I can hear it in your soul and your spirit. And when you're talking, I'm visualizing that your mother's sounding just like you. You
People
are truly
say she does.
Blessed. Truly,
yep,
you're blessed.
I love my mama.
We all love our mothers, and you're right. You know, no matter at the end of the day, no matter
That's
how
right.
many movies you want to go to or places you want to do, the time spent with your mother is the most precious. The most precious.
Oh,
is
God.
Right.
And
you're
and
right.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, Renee, and you know, God sees us. God sees if we appreciate our mothers. And you know, I pray that God would leave her here with me a little longer because you know what? I'm still enjoying her. You know, although she's declining, I'm in no hurry for her to go ahead. And I'm not in any hurry for that. And she said to me the other day, she says, oh, Gladys, she says, I feel like my best days are behind me. My mother's 80 years old. And I kind of paused and I smiled and I thought, I didn't say it, but I thought to myself, no, Mom, your best days are in front of you, you know. When you pass away and go to heaven, honey, your best days are in front, not behind you. That's right. That's right.
Gladys, you are preaching it. For my listeners out there, listen to Gladys here because we have to cherish our parents. We have to cherish our mother. And if you know, for this day forth, if you haven't, go and write down their saying so you can even
open
the book and you can look over because at least you have something in your hand and you can see the words. You can almost hear her say the words. This is truly a blessing to not only give the book to her, but also, like you said, for future generations down the line and even for you.
Because
it's something that we all need. It's for the giver and the receiver.
That's right.
What Mama
that's said. How we draw our strength and we learn and we live from what they have said.
Definitely. So Gladys, tell everybody where they can get the book from.
Well, I do have an e-book. It's on Amazon. You have to put my name in, Gladys Jewel Seedorf, and then, you know, my book will come up, What Mama Said. I do not have a website. You know, like I said, I'm just kind of really getting started with this. I really sell my book locally a lot. I'm trying to really get my name out there, and it was recommended that I just sell it locally. But if somebody would like to email me, certainly my email is lowercase g01131963@yahoo.com. That would be great. And then a phone number, 269-425-8747, and I will repeat that, 269-425-8747. I would love to talk to anybody or receive an email about what Mama has said.
Yes, what Mama said. This is truly a blessing. I am so glad I came across your book. I sent an email to Gladys and the previous speaker over 2 months ago. I'm sure they thought, well, she even responded, but I'm so glad to have both of you on tonight. Truly, this is a transformation for me and for my listeners. Hone in on our moms, take care of them. And we got 90 seconds, just quick 10-second spiel, Gladys, what you can say to the people. Just 10 seconds, sorry.
Do something special for your mother on Mother's Day. And, you know, it doesn't have to cost any money. Just love her. Spend time with her. Just do that. Do that for your mother. She will never forget it.
That's right. For my listeners out there, Transformation, Give Up the Struggle, where other authors help to inspire you with their stories. Please, this Mother's Day, don't worry about, you know, how much you got to buy for food or take her this place. Spend time with her that day. spend time.
Quality
Don't
time.
Be in a rush to him. Quality time. And, yes, I know you're going to bring the flowers, but bring something else. Bring yourself, you know. Get all those
Amen.
Brothers and sisters around her and spend quality
That's right.
time. Gladys, your book is beautiful. What Mama said, please go out, everybody, and get that book. And it's really what Mama said. Thank you very much. And you have a
Thank
good and happy Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Renee. You too.
Thank
bless
you.
Bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. Same here. Yes, everybody, I had two great, fantastic authors out here telling about, you know, 13 Hard Lessons of Life, how my mother taught me them, and also what my mama said. Please get these books because both books are inspiring, both books are motivational. And this holiday time, mother time, spend time with your mother. This is Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, saying Happy Mother's Day.
Listen to Renee Wiggins of Blog Talk Radio, Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, next week for more fabulous tips on nutrition, fitness, and stress management.